Age of Transitions.
You're listening to The Age of Transitions. I am your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Sunday night, March 19th, 2023, live from the facilities of Ocelli.com every Sunday night. First hour, Age of Transitions. Second hour, Uncle the Broadcast. You may call in and join us. I will give out the call-in number in a moment. But first, my website is theageoftransitions.com. Go there to support the show. Best way to do that is buy a book, Revolve, Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. Have paperback or ebook copies available. Also have t-shirts available for the shows. Have the Patreon campaign. Thank you, everybody, for supporting on Patreon and continuing to support this show and doing so. Thank you for that. And we have the affiliate links. We have bookshop.org, the link on my website. So go to theageoftransitions.com, click through the link that goes to bookshop.org. Do your shopping, and whatever shopping you end up doing there, I'll get a little bit for it. So remember that. And also, if you're thinking about doing your own podcast, you might want to think about using Libsyn as your podcast hosting service. That's what I use. If you use promo code Franz, you'll get 2 months for free. Also, you can click through the links at theageoftransitions.com for that promo code. So that's the show. That's how you support it. Of course, the show is available. Not only is it live and archived on Ocelli.com, but it's available on all sorts of podcast services, podcast applications. If there's one that you found that it's not on, just let me know and I can almost surely get it on there pretty easily. But most of them, it goes out to. So thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the show around. Thank you for your support and everything over the years. And yes, again, it is a live show. So if you want to call in, please do so. We'd love to speak with you tonight. The number is 319-527-5016. You can also use Skype. If you use Skype, type a message to Chuck and then he'll call you. So type a message to charles.ocelli on Skype, charles.ocelli, or call 319-527-5016, and you will be on the show with me, be speaking, and it will be good. Same number every Sunday night. If you ever feel, if you'd ever like to call, the line's open every Sunday, so would love to hear from you if you've been thinking about doing that sometime. Throwing that one out there. We are within the age of transitions, whether we like it or not. So we're just more of the same, you know, more of the same stuff. I'm looking at my own Twitter feed for different things that I've retweeted because there's some interesting stuff on here if you follow the right things. If you set Twitter up properly, it can be somewhat useful, kind of, sometimes. My Twitter is at Franz Simulation. If you happen to have a Twitter, go ahead and find me there. But this was a post by Defense News, which is a military industrial complex magazine, an industry magazine. I'm pretty sure this is one of the ones that I used to be able to get actual paper copies of when I was working at the bike shop in Long Beach. Somebody who worked within the industry would leave their old magazines there, and I would read through them. It was good reading material, and this was one of them, Defense News. But let's click on this story, and we'll read a little bit of it. The headline from Defense News is Pentagon's historic R&D request has billions for advanced networks, AI. This was from Monday, March 13th. Authors Courtney Albin and Colin Demarest. So let's see here. Let's read a little bit from this. Washington. The Pentagon rolled out its largest ever innovation and modernization budget on Monday, requesting $145 billion from Congress in fiscal 2024 to fund programs aimed at boosting the U.S. Defense Department's spending on critical technology while strengthening partnerships with industry. The request, which is about $15 billion more than fiscal year 23. Ask designates $1.4 billion for the Connect Everything campaign. Ah, this is an interesting one. The Connect Everything campaign, known as Joint All Domain Command and Control. I believe the acronym there is JADCC, is it? I forget. They have some acronym for this thing. Anyway, and $687 million for the Rapid Defense Experimentation Reserve, an effort spearheaded by Undersecretary of Defense Heidi Shue that aims to fill high-priority capability gaps with advanced tech. Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks said Monday that the spending request will help the Pentagon build bridges with America's dynamic innovation ecosystem, with the traditional defense industry and well beyond it. Here's your acronym for you. JADC2 is the Pentagon's vision of a wholly connected military where information can flow freely and securely to and from forces across land, air, sea, space, and cyber. The complex endeavor likely will never have a formal finish line, defense officials say, and is fueled by cutting-edge communications kit and cybersecurity techniques, as well as an embrace of artificial intelligence. Hicks on Monday described AI as one of several key technology areas for the Defense Department, and highlighted the request's $1.8 billion allocation for it. The Defense Department cataloged at least 685 ongoing AI projects in 2021, including several tied to major weapons systems, according to the Government Accountability Office. Exactly how the Pentagon intends to apply the funding for JADC2 development was not immediately clear. The budget documents describe the money as necessary to transform warfighting capability by delivering information advantage at the speed of relevance across all domains and partners. That's a funny little term, speed of relevance. Okay, so this thing, they're calling it JADC2, which is the acronym for Joint All Domain Command and Control. So basically the plan here is to tune up the Defense Department's technology and their networking, and basically network the whole thing and somehow make it secure. Obviously, cybersecurity huge in this. So you have to find some way that they can't, if you're digitally connecting the entire Department of Defense, the entire U.S. military, you would think you would be, you'd think there'd be all sorts of exploits that would be possible in terms of cybersecurity exploits and hacking and things like that. So, of course, that's a major part of it. I don't understand how you can even, I don't know. It's the wars and military actions that we're moving into are really crazy because, you know, more and more, like everything else in the entire world, it's going digital. And yes, the military and DARPA and, the DOD has long, they've long been producing a lot of the advanced technologies of America for many, many years. But also at the same time, as we mentioned on the show a bit, the entrenched special interests over the years have bogged things down quite a bit. And now the system itself is quite – it's an encumbered bureaucracy that is – loaded with, again, entrenched special interests that have things set up really good for them to, you know, milk the whole thing, but not necessarily to get the most advanced technology at the quickest pace. And so this JADC2 and all this going on here is efforts to change that. And they are having to shake things up a bit. And, yes, our friend, was it, Eric Schmidt. He and his many panels that he's been on had a lot to do with moving the military in this direction. And they said in the at the top of this article, they made a reference to not just the old guard military industrial complex companies, which will be a part of this, they say, but also the entire American technological industry, which in the past few weeks has had quite a shakeup themselves. And actually, it's been more than weeks. It's been a few months now that the tech industry has been reeling in many different ways. I mean, recently with the Silicon Valley Bank issues, the bank having to get bailed out, and everybody having a good laugh at the Silicon Valley libertarians immediately asking for a federal bailout of their bank in order to save it, and the irony not lost on anybody who's paying attention to that. But yeah, so that just pointed out one of the, you know, the capital side of this whole thing, the financial fiscal side of technological development. Whether you're talking about financially with the U.S. government, the military, tax dollars, or if you're talking about private industry, you know, lending from banks, venture capitalists, wherever big investors, wherever the money is coming from, you know, that whole side of things can throw a whole nother wrench in, you know, your best laid plans. Because if you have some sort of economic problems, can cause further problems for development. So, and that whole side of it is far from my area of expertise. I'm not going to speak to it a whole lot because I can't, to be quite honest. It's not my specialty, as I'm saying. But nonetheless, the once high and mighty Silicon Valley tech industry has been reeling really the entire year here. It's had all sorts of layoffs going on. The whole Bay Area is lots of changes up there just due to the problems with the industry. Lots of people losing jobs, having to leave, changing the horrible real estate market up there. It's been awful for a long time. Prices are just astronomical. It hasn't fully crashed the real estate market, but it's gone through quite a few changes, which were obviously needed. Prices need to come down, but still, it's the tech industry is there's all sorts of issues going on with technology. There's the actual acquiring of high technologies and using them, but then there's the very human side of, well, how do you go about funding a, you know, perhaps AI startup? How do you get an AI business off the ground? How do you get it running? How do you get the product even made in the first place? And, you know, it's there's no one way to answer that question, is there? But the system itself is... It's really quite something, because you've got the universities, you've got the military, you've got private industry, venture capital, you've got all of these things, and there is a distinct effort now to link all those things up even more so than they were before. They were all definitely linked before, but there is a concerted effort to do even more of that. And you see it in all these sorts of articles. We'll make references to that. Let's see here. Oh, here's an interesting paragraph right here. Supply chain risk reduction also features heavily in the Pentagon's budget proposal, supply chain risk reduction. The request includes nearly $3.6 billion to address critical vulnerabilities in five industrial base sectors: microelectronics, casting and forging, batteries and energy storage, kinetic capabilities, and strategic critical materials. So, yeah, a lot of this supply chain risk reduction. So the supply chain itself is going to be and is intimately linked with defense in more ways than one. They have to protect it just on the domestic front, but also it's a part of the military industrial complex supply chain. Is the same as the domestic supply chain, really, because all these same, you know, the same companies working on the same stuff. So, yeah, so that's pretty interesting right there. And more and more, I don't know, it seems like we've got this new Cold War going, right? I mean, we all know it. We know that we're in it. You've got this East versus West business. You've got the United States and whoever would dare ally themselves with them. And then you've got China and Russia and basically the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, right? The I think it's SCO, right? Shanghai Cooperation Organization. You've got that block. And you've got NATO, sort of. And that's an oversimplification. There's all sorts of weird stuff going on between many different countries. So certainly don't want to oversimplify things. But nonetheless, tensions between particularly China and the U.S. are bad. And Russia and the U.S., bad. Not in a good spot. And there's a lot of antagonism to go around. Everybody's mad at each other. Everybody's blaming each other. China's claiming that the U.S. is just pushing and putting them into a position they don't want to be in. The U.S. is claiming that China is a danger to the international rules-based order and democracy. And all the while, both of those countries, and certainly Russia and many more, are hard at work developing technologies for, you know, this future battlefield. We've got this digital warfare that we don't even know, we haven't even seen yet. It's on the horizon. Everybody's preparing for it. Nobody has seen what it's going to do yet. But I have to I seem to think that I tend to think that domestic targets will be more and more sort of what happens. And this goes along with what I've said before about like cyber style terrorism events like cyber 9/11s and things like this. I would think that you know, taking out the infrastructure and by digital means through, you know, hacking or advanced cyber attacks of some sort, you could really gain all sorts of advantages, even if you're not in a true war with troops on the ground. Even if the war isn't that, you could attack your rival through those sorts of means. And I just tend to believe that those sorts of things are going to happen more. But again, I don't know. I don't know what this thing is going to look like either. It's kind of like, you know, World War I occurred and suddenly the face of war was unlike anything ever seen before, and it changed things forever. And that was due to what? That was due to new technology, weapons technologies. All sorts of, you know, the horrors of trench warfare because all of the machine guns, the gas, and that sort of stuff, that those didn't exist before World War One. And so when they started getting used, war became even worse than it was already, which it was already terrible, as, you know, we well know. And I just have to imagine that this digital warfare is going to be something very different. And it's what everybody seems to be, what the world is leading up to, is whatever that's going to be. Everybody's just on edge because we don't know who's going to do what, who's going to do it first, what it's even going to be, and what the retaliation from the other side is going to be. Nobody really knows yet. But in the meantime, everybody's scrambling and trying to, you know, get the best technology that they can built up. And they're trying to do that with their very flawed systems. Flawed, but nonetheless, it a lot comes from it anyway. And you better believe that the Chinese system has its flaws too. And you know, corruption exists in any given country. It's just takes different forms based on, you know, what's going on in any given country. So you got the CCP in control over in China. You know, obviously the party members are the elite caste there, the elite portion of the population that can, if you're looking for corruption, you might want to look around there. No big surprise. And for us, it's, I mean, it's everywhere, and it's everywhere throughout all societies. It's not just one place. It's not just that in China. There's plenty more corruption at all levels, surely. And yes, I'm not the expert on that either, so I'm not going to speak to that, but I'm just going to say, obviously, that's how it is, because that's how it is everywhere. I read some other article this past week about, I guess the IRS has a quite extent records of trades on Wall Street that were made by big captains of industry. So big like CEOs and things like this have made trades that were like trading their rival competitor companies. They would own stocks in them, and then they would buy and sell them at like precisely the right moments. And this happens all the time, apparently. Like, so a CEO in one industry will have all this stock in their rivals, their competitors' stock. They'll own a bunch, and then a day before the something terrible happens at that company, this person will sell the stock off, make a killing off of it. The stock will drop super low, and then usually when it drops super low, they just buy it back again. So they sell it the day before at the high price. The price goes way down the next day. They just buy it back, and they wait till later, and then they sell it again later when it goes at the precise right moment. Like, this is down to like the timing is just ridiculous. Like, there's no way you could really know to sell it that well unless you had some sort of insider information, right? So apparently the IRS has records of all sorts of that sort of activity, and it happens all the time. Will anything ever happen from it? Probably not, but it's something that happens. Corruption, it's everywhere. It's just the way things are. It's just, if you figure out a little scheme to make a bunch of money, you're going to do it. So that's what everybody's doing. Everything's a scam. Everything's a scheme. Everybody's just trying to find some way to make way more money than they actually need. And if they do, that's what they find a way to make it happen. And then the rest of us are just all left here to survive the honest way, which is difficult, and it's hard work making an honest living. I don't know about making a dishonest living, but it doesn't seem that hard. You just have to figure out, again, your own personal scam or trick. You got to find some little way to game the system that works out for you to make millions upon millions of dollars, sometimes more than that. but again, it's a live show tonight. If you want to call in, please do so. I'd like to talk to you. The number is 319-527-5016. So come on the show through Skype, charles.ocelli. Send him, type him something. Type him a message. He'll bring you on charles.ocelli on Skype, or call 319-527-5016. You will be on The Age of Transitions with me, Aaron Franz. You'll be speaking. Be good. So yeah, that was an article from a wonderful publication, Defense News. It is worth reading stories from those sorts of publications, quite honestly. They do have good material, stuff that is hard to find elsewhere. So I do always enjoy coming across those. What else tonight? It's just all sorts of insanity going on, as usual. I suppose Donald Trump has got some sort of indictment coming, and everybody's all excited because they think he's going to get arrested this week. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Let's see here. Oh, here's, this kind of ties in with what I'm saying. It's Eric Schmidt again. We have to, I don't know if I've read this before, but it ties in with the same stuff we were just talking about. So let's do this. This is from a while back. This is published back in January 31st. I don't think I've read this on the show before, but anyway, let's just look at it real fast. Google's ex-CEO Eric Schmidt tapped for federal biotech commission that allows members to keep biotech investments. Okay. And here's just key points it says from the article. This is from CNBC.com. The commission doesn't require its members to divest their own personal biotech investments, even as they help shape U.S. policy overseeing the industry. Schmidt holds stakes in several biotech companies through a venture capital firm known as First Spark Ventures. The former Google CEO is in a position to potentially profit if those companies are the beneficiaries of a new wave of federal biotech spending. And really, what else do we need to know? This is the same thing that he has been doing. It's the same thing we've been talking about, is that, you make your investments and then you work your way into the government and convince them to start funding projects within the same industries you're invested in. And so, yes, the danger is that Eric Schmidt will just get the government to pay him by investing in the companies he's already got a stake in. Will that happen? Almost certainly it will, because it's a good scam. It's a good scheme. So Eric Schmidt is on top of things. He knows what to do. If you haven't figured out your scheme yet, I don't know what to tell you. I haven't really figured one out either, because I'm an idiot. I work the honest way, which is for morons, which I am one. So, I mean, I don't know. If I was smart, I wouldn't be honest. But, I don't know. I haven't always been honest in my life. But to the way that I make my money today is, I'm dumb. There's no way around it. I should have figured out a better scam by now. So, shame on me for not figuring something better out. You would think that I would have been able to pull that off, but nope, I haven't. Excuse me there, my throat. We've got the robot dog spot. Seems to just always be in the news these days. It's always making rounds for being a security robot and being bought by police departments across the country. It's the darling of them these days, the robot dog. So that's always in the news one way or another. Here's an old one from IEET, something about universal basic income. I had heard that the four-day work week concept was brought up here in California again recently. Some representative brought it up as wanting to institute that here. I'm not exactly sure how that works out either. It's like the general concept is that instead of working 5 days a week, you would work 4 days a week, but you still get paid the same amount. My question is, are you working 8 hours a day? So you're working 8 hours a day for 5 days a week, right, during the five-day work week. When it changes over to the four-day work week, is this going to be, as we say in the honest working world, is it going to be four tens, meaning 4 days of 10-hour shifts each day? Is the law just going to make that normal, or is it going to be 4 8-hour days and then we magically get paid the same amount? And how do you do that? How do you make the same pay for one less day? I don't know. Don't get me wrong. I like the idea of working less. I definitely do. However, I just don't. It just seems like one of those things that, like, yeah, I. You know, the too good, file it under the too good to be true category, right? Like, you work one whole less day, but somehow you get paid the same. I just can't see it working that way exactly. You know, so somehow it's going to work out to, you're doing the same amount of work just in less days or whatever, you know? I would think it would have to be like that. But who knows? Let's see. Now I am mistakenly scrolling through Twitter as I'm doing my show. I have to stop that now. I'm done. That was not good because there are all sorts of weirdness. Let's see here. Got a couple of people in the Ocelli.com chat room. It's good to see action there. On a Sunday night, people in the chat room. It's a good thing. Let's see here. I barely even know anymore these days. What do you even say in the face of whatever's happening? I mean, I will say that it seems like it always feels like we're on the edge of something crazy happening, and surely we are. Something crazy will happen. It hasn't happened yet. There's constantly are these crazy things happening, but actually bigger and crazier things on the way, and we just don't know. We don't know what those things are. We don't know when they are. We don't know what they're going to be, but we can tell that they're just going to happen. No way around it. And we know that's the one kind of a... Can we take comfort in that? Knowing that that crazy stuff is bound to happen? Is that kind of like a... Is that good? Am I going out too far on the limb on that one to say that it's good that we know that we can just expect insanity? I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to say either way. This Cold War 2.0. I just hope that you're getting mad at other countries that aren't our own country, because that's always good. Always good to really despise other nations because they're other nations. They have their own other nations with other agendas doing bad things. It's fun to do that. Oh, yeah, the 20th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, the second one, mind you, the Bush Jr. one. That just happened this past week, and that was interesting to see the flurry of articles that came out of that. I find it fascinating that apparently it's just the mainstream and the mainstream take is that the Iraq War was an utter debacle. It's just horrible inside and out. And isn't it funny? That's the same thing that, you know, anti-war and truth movement and alternative sorts of people like ourselves were saying at the time during it. Like, this is absolutely ludicrous. This is a bunch of lies. They just keep making things up. None of this is true. And the consequence is this terrible war where innocent people are being killed for no good reason. And it's a giant mess, and we had ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Well, I guess it takes 20 years to be ashamed of something like that. It takes 20 years for the average person to go, oh, yeah, you know what? That's true. Will there be an apology to all the, like, conspiracy theorists and anti-war types that were so annoying at the time, that were so annoying to the bulk of the population? Just saying all that, those terrible things, and there's a lot of articles about how there was a media frenzy that just worked the people up, and that no one was immune to it. There's just this giant propaganda machine that brainwashed most people. And a lot of people are saying, yes, this led to what we are now in, the post-truth era, where – big surprise, nobody believes the media anymore. But and people are rightly saying, well, of course they don't, because look, it was the media that sold us this BS about Iraq, and we have them to thank for this, for the war, for that, and for Afghanistan as well, and for the wreck that our system is in as a result of these years and years of absolutely absurd foreign policy. That was, again, just a giant scam for the insiders that found a way to profit off the whole thing, which there were many, you know, lots of Beltway insiders. But yeah, just, you know, the usual cast of characters, the entrenched special interests of the military-industrial complex definitely profited off of it, and they got some of us honest working types dragged along as well, the ones that work in all the factories that make the parts for these apparatuses of war, and the ones that just so happen to work for a company like Halliburton or whatever, or private mercenary operations. A lot of people profited off of it, but in the end run, nobody truly gained anything of substance from that, and the world is a much worse place. America is in a much, much worse place for that absolute insanity. And anybody for a second who, like, during the Trump era and all this, was wishing that George W. Bush was back, that ought to be ashamed, because, again, his administration was the one that wrought this absolute wreck. So definitely not better than Trump. Trump's still horrendous himself, but in his own way. There was nothing good that came out of the George W. Bush administration in those years. It was just really it's part of the U.S. overextending itself and just further, just digging deeper in the trenches of corruption that is, again, the military-industrial complex and just that the whole war machine, American foreign policy nonsense that we've been living for decades now, decades of this. And it's put us in a really bad spot on the world stage. And now we're all scared about China and the position we're in, and oh, we're going to get behind. It's like, well, yeah, maybe if we weren't goofing around with all these, like, ridiculous wars that make no sense, been overextending ourselves for so many years. They had nothing to do with protecting the homeland here or helping the countries that we were invading. We didn't help them at all. We ruined their countries, destroyed them. They're still reeling to this day, and the people in those countries hate us, and they should. They should hate us for what we did. And you've got these groups in that are alternative adjacent or within, just entrenched within the alternative world, the countercultural world, groups like the Oath Keepers, made up of many members from the armed services. Lots of Iraq war veterans in groups like the Oath Keepers. And gee, why is that? Because it doesn't take a genius to understand that that when you're lied to, when you are lied to and exploited, their service in the military was, and their good intentions were exploited completely by the system. And that much you can't take away from them. When they say that, it's true, and everybody knows it's true now. And so when they go like fumbling around for answers for this ridiculous lie that they've had to pay for with their lives, their sanity, their health, they've given all this away for nothing so that some jerks can make a bunch of money, like a couple of jerks, right? Because it's like a tiny portion of population that are actually making all the money off of this thing. The rest of us all just have to die for it. Of course they're upset. Of course they're making groups like the Oath Keepers and climbing up into the Capitol and acting like morons, you know? Like, they're upset. They're just acting out of rage, which, I mean, you can't fully fault them. But then again, it is completely unfortunate and sad and annoying that the whole whatever, the Trump world, has exploited these people in a new way. Now they're being exploited not by their own government so much as these weird little special interest groups. And yes, weasels like Trump definitely exploit these poor guys. And it's just horrible. It's the post-truth era, right? Here we are, and it should be no surprise. Nobody should believe anything, and they don't. And so here we are. I hope we're happy with what we've made. We've made a system where if you're smart and unscrupulous enough, you can find out a really good scam that you can get away with. And even if you get caught, nothing will happen to you because you've made it onto the VIP list. We've got that. We've got you could be that or you could be poor. And there's all sorts of fun ways to be poor, aren't there? We're all quite familiar with that. And, you know, a society with extreme inequity like that, where you've just got a tiny little group with all of the money and then everybody else with basically nothing. There's probably no problem there. There's nothing. What could go wrong? What could go wrong in that situation? And we're getting a call, which I welcome. Be good to speak to somebody. So, caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Jimmy James, calling from the USA.
Hey, USA, I've heard of that place. I think I was just talking about it for some reason. How's your USA going there?
You live to the left of it. You live to the left of the USA. You border us. What's it like out there?
Yeah, well, Newsom is one of those governors that's trolling the governors that are on the opposite side of the political spectrum in oh so many fun ways. And, you know, you've got the Florida DeSantis types doing the same thing on the other side, where we're all just like, you know, making our own little countries within a country. So that's another fun thing we do here, too. So,
oh, okay. Yeah, it's good. Now, you do realize that that was actually the founder's intent, right?
Oh, yeah, that, that the
Civil
states.
War, it was understood that America was the nation and your state is your country, or actually your locale. But you get the idea of a republic, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's true, and I guess we can't be upset, and each state is becoming more its own by the day. So I guess that would be the more positive spin on it, Jimmy. So I accept that. That sounds good to me.
Yeah. I take it you didn't watch the Tucker Show regarding the whatever, January 6th.
I had heard about this. I heard that he aired some new footage of the Capitol goings on. Like, I didn't watch it. What was this new footage?
I haven't watched it myself.
You haven't? Okay.
Well, they released for like 38,000 hours that was Pelosi withheld illegally. And didn't make available to what? Every single defendant sitting in D.C. dungeons? Political gulags? Anyways, Tucker pretty much exposed the whole thing for exactly what it was. He promised a second episode. It never happened. Evidently, they got to him. But he showed clearly the cops escorting the idiot Charmin guy. They're the ones that brought them up there and told them to speak. And now he's doing 4 years of prison for following the D.C. police's commands. What sense does that make? The whole thing was clearly made to look exactly how you describe it. Everyone that gets their news on CNN and MSNBC, they pretty much had the same ideas that you do of what happened. There was no cops killed on that day. There was only two women who were murdered by cops. The guy that died the day after died of a natural aneurysm. He had clogged up arteries and crap. Nothing to do with bear spray. It was all a lie. Everything out of Joe Biden's mouth is a lie. And I would advise anyone sitting in those gulags to sue the devil out of that fool. Because before he was even elected president, which you can't sue him on, he created great malicious. He said that they killed a cop and a bunch of people there, which is an outright lie. That's defamation and definitely malicious. So, I don't know. I hope those poor people get some kind of justice. Most of them are 60 and 70-year-olds who walked into the Capitol and got selfies.
I did not see this. I have to watch this footage to have an actual opinion on it to see if they were escorted up, as you're saying they were. I don't know. I mean, definitely there are a lot of people there that day on January 6th that were just there because it was a big group of people. It was mob mentality, and they're just there going along with the mob because, you know, that's what happens in those situations.
I'll tell you exactly what happened, Aaron. The western flank of the police, these idiots shot their own fools with C2 gas. And this broke up their own western flank and allowed the people to even get near the Capitol. It's misconduct up and down the ranks of that stupid department.
I had heard people insinuating that there was, like, police corroboration with the protesters and that they kind of allowed it to happen. I remember that happening, like, the day of it happening and right after, and people were insinuating.
Well, I don't know
about
that, but there definitely was incompetence, like them shooting their own men with a gas cannon. I don't know exactly why they were beating a woman dead that was on the ground dead and needed to be resuscitated. These people are just sick of twisted, and I hope the Speaker McCarthy does something about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to watch all that stuff. I still, like, overall, with these groups like the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, I'm very suspicious of them and their affiliations.
There are 10 guys there from your so-called Oath Keeper, and most of them were in the FBI. So, in other words, they don't exist.
Yeah, I mean, that one guy, that Enrique... That Enrique guy, I forget his last name, but he's one of the Proud Boys, like a top one that was got in trouble for this, too.
There's no such thing. Where's Epps? Where's Ray Epps? That's what I want to know. Where's Ray Epps?
Well, that Enrique guy, there's he has a history of, I think, working with the FBI as some sort of informant or asset or something.
Sure he does. I'm sure he does. So does Mr. Epps. Where is Mr. Epps? If there was any so-called insurrection or leader, it would be him. Where's Ray Epps?
Yeah, I don't know.
Same place Crayford is, Witness Protection Program. Ha!
Yeah, well... Jimmy, I have a question for you. What do you think of the recent about face of Mike Pence? Now he, up to this point, he seemed like really happy for January 6th to have happened, and you know the whole thing, and he wasn't mad at Trump for putting him in danger and all that. But now, I guess this past week, he's changed his mind completely. Now he's mad at Trump. Now he thinks January 6th was a disgrace. He's really changed his tune.
No, it's the opposite. That's the opposite. Before he was mad at Trump, and now he says he's not mad at Trump.
No, not my understanding. It's the other way around. Like he was always making excuses for Trump and for January 6th happened, and everybody's like, you nearly got killed in there. They wanted to murder you, and he's like, I don't care. So what? Trump's okay. And well, now he's making like some story. Presidential bid, and he's like,
hey, here's another fanciful story. Do you remember hearing something about seeing someone being bashed by a fire extinguisher? Complete lie, totally made up, pulled out of thin air.
What do you think about Baked Alaska, Jimmy? You like that guy? Is he a good person?
Who the devil is Baked Alaska?
He was one of the goofballs live streaming it there. He was there. He went into one of the offices. Was he in Pelosi's office? He was in some office doing dumb stuff.
I thought that was the shaman. The shaman was taken in there.
Yeah, the shaman was another star of the show. But Baked Alaska has his own like live streaming channels, and he's been big in the alt-right movement and things like that, and he was there that day.
Never met one in my life. I keep hearing about them, though. Maybe someday I'll meet one of these alt-right neocon guys. Never met one in my life. Never heard anyone introduce themselves as that.
Yeah, I don't know. Have you ever been to any of these like rallies, like a Trump rally or anything like that? Jimmy, have you ever been to one of these events where these people are at?
No, Aaron. I would never waste my time going to any stupid jackass rally. It's a waste of time and effort. Yeah,
but a lot of people do go to them. That's the thing. A lot of people do show up at these events for one reason or another. So they're out there doing it for some reason.
I have no idea why. I do my voice gets said through the voting booth and through legal documents. I don't waste my time prancing around with signs.
A lot of people do, though. And I don't think they know why they're there, to be honest. But they're in droves. They show up. So for whatever that's worth, we're just here trying to pick up the pieces.
For Biden. Not many folks turn out for Biden. How can that be? More people voted for Joe Biden than any other man in the history of the country. And yet 10 people show up when he has a rally. Huh. So All right, man, I'll let you close up your show. Sorry for
all right. No, it's okay. We'll talk to you next time, Jimmy. Take it easy. And with that, this is the end of the show. Thank goodness. We're moving into the Uncle Show in the next hour. Government Hour is coming to a close. Government Hour being the age of transitions. Thank you for listening. Again, any week that you want to call in, you may call in. We'll get some guests back on the show one day too. They'll be back. Thank you for listening, for supporting. My name is Aaron Franz. I'll leave you as always by saying seeker, seek on.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Nuclear holocaust. You know what uranium is, right? This thing called nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of... You know what uranium is, right? Bad things. Things are done with uranium, including some bad things.
Do you like history, real history, that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
You're listening to the Ocelli.com radio network.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
The Ocelli.com radio network.
Uncle, do you remember that time when Benjamin Fulford said that an Asian secret society was going to dispatch ninjas to take down the Illuminati?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, in the cartoon.
Yeah, did that ever work out too good?
No.
It didn't, did it?
Didn't work.
But here on Ocelli.com radio network, things work out a bit better, don't they?
Much better.
I mean,
it's clearer in understanding about the programs. The programs are much clearer. Getting live people into it, they really have a good conversation going.
Much better.
Much better scene.
I say forget Benjamin Fulford and his ninjas and listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
I agree. It's straight to the point.
Straight talk.
And I like that idea.
Ocelli.com.
Mad Prophet of the Airwaves. I am here every Thursday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Pacific time, right here on the Ocelli Radio Network, which is really one of the most, I think it's the gem in the landscape of media today. Please donate, buy a coffee and some smokes for my man, my producer, and the owner of this network, Chuck, today by donating at Ocelli.com. Keep it alive. Keep it alive.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State. Estate by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Chili.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Warning. This is a Mercy broadcast. Code Red. Here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and hang me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums.
You're listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name is Aaron. I'm your nephew-in-law. Here with me is the star of the show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm back on the air. It's 270 and 91 is the episode.
I think you're right there.
Yeah. It is right. Yeah, I have it updated.
Okay, update that number. And we're doing live show at Chili.com.
I believe we have a caller on the line that's been waiting. Yeah, right, where are you from and who is this? Hello.
Caller,
you're on air.
This is Jimmy James. How do you like the chairs, Uncle?
I knew it was you. Yeah, it was nice. I'm sitting in it, but
you
he
like
ain't.
The chairs?
Yeah.
I think Trump is going to be arrested tomorrow. Throw away the key.
Uncle's excited.
Uncle, it's Chris. It's Chris Graves from Massachusetts. I'm a schmuck. How are you?
Wait a minute. I didn't think it was him. No, because he was on last hour.
Not Jimmy.
I just gave a check. I gave you a check out.
Not Jimmy.
It's somebody else. He said it was somebody else. That was a joke.
It's our fellow Ocelli Radio Network host, Chris Graves, Uncle.
A host?
Yes.
Chris Graves doing, helping him?
How are you doing? How are you, Uncle?
Hey, let's get him busy. Let's get him moving now.
We're getting Chris moving?
Get moving. Get Chucky moving now.
Get Chuck moving.
I'm pretty fat, Uncle. It's hard to move me.
Ooh. I didn't dig that.
Unless I'm late for the buffet.
Okay. Well, it's good to have you here, Chris, on a Sunday Chris? Night Live. If anybody else wants to call in, they may. 319-527-5066. Or come on through.
I won't clog up the show, I promise.
No, it's good to talk to you, man. It's good to have somebody to talk to you. Isn't that right, Uncle? Have somebody on the show.
I've always let them talk. Because it's my hour and not that other hour. So, all the way about is talk, whatever you want to, what's on your mind is my special.
Well,
what's on your mind? Well,
I was wondering, you think Trump is finally going to get arrested?
I think he should, yes. I think he should.
All right, yeah.
My opinion. I know you got opinions, but my opinion is I think he should because he had – nothing evolved. He had a problem. He couldn't handle it. He said, let the crowd continue.
But what are they bringing him in on? What exactly are the charges? I don't even know. I haven't looked into it.
See, you guys are going government hour here. I'll tell you, it's strange, but I'm just saying
what's on the hour.
It's the Stormy Daniels.
Well, Uncle, do you like Monty Python?
What is this?
I had something else in mind, actually.
Yeah, Monty Python.
Graves, I was going to ask you about something, though, because we got this effort going on. We're all trying to get wrestlers onto one of the shows. Right?
We've been trying to get wrestlers on.
Well, I tweeted to Jim.
Oh, wow.
I tweeted to Jim Cornette, okay, just a couple days ago. You remember Jim Cornette, the wrestling guy?
Yeah.
He used to have the tennis racket. He used to beat people up with it, right?
Yes. Yeah. I remember him.
Okay, so he's got a podcast now, so I'm tweeting at him, trying to get him interested. Come on to one of our shows. You know, any one of us, come on. You know, and definitely I want to try and get a wrestler on your show. It's been hard. I've been reaching out to these guys, and I know Graves is good at finding some people sometimes, so I'm saying
Sergeant Slaughter follows me, but he doesn't respond.
But there you go. You got to get one of these guys to respond so we can get somebody. I want one of these main, you know, one of these name wrestlers. I want them to get on the Uncle Show. Yeah.
Is do one of them. One of them come, they all will follow. That's usually what happens.
That's what I keep hoping.
That makes sense.
It does. I mean, you just got to push one out.
Then you're a wrestling podcast.
Yeah, then I'll be a wrestling podcast. Yeah. And we'll get out of all
this.
Would
you settle for John Cena?
Would
you settle for John Cena?
Oh, yeah, I would like to listen to him.
I'm sure Uncle would love John Cena.
I wouldn't mind him.
I'm sure Uncle would love John Cena.
Yeah, I don't think I could. I don't have that kind of pull, but would you take Sergeant Slaughter?
Yeah.
Sergeant Slaughter, you know.
Even one of the ladies, if they come out.
I was trying to get, somebody said they knew, what's that guy, Brother Love, right? The guy who played Brother Love?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was Creative Accidents somehow knows him. Yeah that's right.
And I was hoping for that. I've been trying to get Ric Flair now for a while. I even gave a phone number to Sidekick there to try and get a hold of him. The guy's in Georgia. Now, he was sick for a little bit.
He's in Georgia.
Yeah, but
he's a locator. He can get in touch with him.
I'm trying. That's the thing. I'm telling you, I'm trying to get these guys. And anybody wants to help, reach out to one of these wrestlers. If you know them, if they interact, if they answer you, love to get one of them on one of the shows. I mean, Graves could interview a wrestler. I could interview a wrestler. Uncle, let's get them on all the shows. Let's have a little fun with these guys. The old guys, the new guys, doesn't matter. Let's get them. That's all I'm saying.
What have you been trying to say, Chuck? I've been saying that over and over, too.
Right.
You're doing the right words, what I was trying to do, and I'm instilled asking.
I'm joining you. I'm joining you on this. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying all this time.
Did you say Freddie Blassie? I think he's dead. Isn't he dead? Freddie Blassie.
I said, why don't we dig up Fred Blassie?
Wow, you know.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
I don't actually mean... Yeah, he's
hanging with Andre, but I got you. Anyways, the thing is, you know, I would love to talk to one of these guys. Get him on a show. You know,
even Jerry Lawler. I've been trying on that too, but he just had a stroke.
Yeah, that's true. That's a little tough. Now, the only guys I've had on my show from the wrestling world are the progressive liberal Daniel Richardson, which was he was big for a minute.
Yeah.
Right, and Sam Houston has been on my show, but
Sam Houston,
but that's it.
So you did have two, at least you had someone.
Yeah. You know who used to be in touch with a lot of those guys?
Uncle, who's your top three? Six.
In wrestling.
Yeah, for your show.
Stinger, if you can find him. Mark Hogan. That crazy guy.
No.
Crazy guy, yeah.
And,
Thunderlips from Rocky III.
Yeah. And,
King Kong Bundy.
King Kong Bundy's dead, but last we checked, the Iron Sheik is still alive, though. The Iron Sheik is still alive.
Yeah. Man that hits the can on his head. What was his name?
The can on his head? Or are you talking about the guy with the green tongue? George the Animal Steel, I think, is gone. But do you mean the bushwhacker guys?
Yeah,
Oh, well, yeah, he's my old friend. Yeah. But he's not. I'm thinking about the guy that he hits himself in the head with the can.
The can. Trying to think of who
that's Jimmy was. James, that's why.
He crushes a can on his
yeah,
head?
Yeah, crushes can.
Oh, Steve, oh, Stone yeah, Steve Cold Austin. Steve Austin.
Yeah, them three.
That's
crush
it.
A can on his head?
Oh, yes, he does.
Stone Cold.
You haven't been watching Friday Night Nights?
Well, he breaks open
night,
the beer.
Night, yeah. Snackdown?
He breaks
he
open the beer.
He comes on, he smashes that thing on his head. He actually does. He does that every match that he played, that he met. He does. He starts it out with that. Telephone on the line. Hold on there. Hold it. We have a telephone call. Oh, where are you from and who are you calling from? And this is Bobby Jimmy. Hello?
Macho Man Randy Savage calling from hell.
Randy Savage, where is your boys at? Let's get these wrestlers on here. We've been trying to get... Hello?
Yeah.
We're trying to get your boys to have the talk on my show. Where are you guys?
We're all down here, man. Want to talk to one of the Kennedys?
Don't you guys got broadcasters? Come on now. I'm going to shake one of you guys up to have a talk. What?
Oh, that was a low blow. The Kennedys.
Who's that?
Wow.
Who's that talking? That's Bobby Savage.
Oh, it was.
No, it wasn't. That's him. I don't want to hear the other guy on the phone.
It wasn't Randy Sandwich?
Savage.
Oh. Okay.
Hello?
I couldn't tell who it
happened
was.
To a Slim Jim.
Slim Jim? Hmm. See, I know his talk. We know his talks.
I've heard him before.
Yeah.
I've heard him before. Randy Savage.
You miss your girl, though, don't you?
Randy Savage.
I know, Randy Savage. You miss your girl. I know. I understand.
Oh, Queen Elizabeth?
Queen Elizabeth?
She's down here.
You're down here? Uh-oh. Say what happens there, Chuck. You said something, and here they come.
There you go.
You got one.
They're here.
All they had to do is get one.
That was easier than we thought it was.
Now they're starting to follow. Now they'll follow. Watch.
Now we'll get a couple more.
Hey, there's Marilyn Monroe, man. I gotta go.
Marilyn Monroe. Oh, no.
Monroe,
yeah.
Savage is busy.
At least we had a talk on him.
Yeah, that's
okay. Go.
We got somewhere.
On these wrestlers.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Oh, yeah. Gonna put spy cams in your house, lady. Yeah.
Spy cams? Ooh. What kind of them?
That's an inside joke. Sorry. It's an inside joke. Inside joke. If you know the Randy Savage inside story, you know
wait,
why
no
that's
joke
funny.
About Sandwich.
I would never joke
don't
about Randy Sandwich.
Boat.
No.
Don't rock the boat, you.
Okay.
Don't rock the boat. We had the first one on. Don't rock the boat.
This is big. We can't. That
we can't have
them.
We can't call our guests and cut our guests like that.
Okay,
Chuck.
That could be big trouble.
That'd be a problem.
These high caliber guests.
If I hear a voice that I know it's him, then I know it's starting.
It's begun.
It began having those guys talking.
The talking has begun.
For the wrestlers.
Yeah, I know.
I'm talking about the wrestlers.
Yes, I don't.
The gathering of the wrestlers.
Oh, no, that is Jimmy.
Oh, gathering of the jugglers, yeah.
Wait a minute. What are you doing on it, Jimmy? I was talking to Wrestler Savage. What? I was talking to Bobby Savage. Wait a minute, where'd you come from?
I didn't hear that part. I've been on hold.
Oh, you've been on hold. Oh, you're on the last hour. That's right. I forgot you were on the after. So. Yeah,
I was. I did make an appearance on there. To answer your question, Trump's being arrested on what Manhattan DA Braggs calls a novel legal theory.
That's what it should be.
Well, novel legal theory.
We're not on this hour. We're not talking that hour.
We're not talking that hour. Okay.
You're talking that hour. I'm not talking that hour. I'm off the stage.
Might as well leave the government stuff alone because, and you know what?
I already had a, I don't want to hear that.
I've got a wager. I've got a wager with somebody that nothing's going to happen on Tuesday. But, you know, that's my wager. But anyway.
Nothing.
He's going to be arrested. He's going to go. He's going to give his fingerprints. They're going to take a picture of him. And that's it. He'll walk out. And then down the road, some judges could say, well, this is obviously unconstitutional and stupid.
Hey,
and it's dismissed.
I was just trying to
figure out. The damage will be done.
Okay, if you say so. I think it's going to be a whole lot of nothing happens that day. But I had a question, though, because somebody brought up Dusty Rhodes in the chat room. I think he's passed away, too. But remember he had a lady with him? Yeah, I think Dusty Rhodes is gone, right? But he had
I don't
a lady.
Remember how long ago.
I'll look it up in a minute, but he had a lady with him for a little bit, and I was trying to remember the lady's name that he had with him for a little while. She was wearing the polka dots along with him for a little bit. I can't remember, though. It was like later in his career. Anybody remember who that was?
It's probably Miss Elizabeth. She used to get around.
No. This was a black lady, first of all. And she was just somebody that, you know, was meant to look like the pulled her out of the crowd one day. And I just couldn't remember her name. I was trying to think of it.
Was Dusty Rhodes the same guy that played Gold Dust? Was that the same guy?
No, that's his son wound up playing the Gold Dust character.
Oh, okay.
That was Dustin.
Okay, that's Gold Dust. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know he passed away.
Well, I'm going to check on that. I think he did, but I'm going to check on that. Yeah.
Because I think he's still alive. Truthfully thinking.
Well, here's something that almost I've never heard announced on any news network. The girl from the Adams Family died.
Wednesday Adams, the original one that from the original show?
Yep, she's dead.
Oh, wow.
So now only living person from the Ames family, believe it or not, is the dad, Gomez.
Oh, yeah. Dusty Rhodes passed away in 2015.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
2015?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Well, that sounds right, yeah.
No?
Right. Yeah, there's not many of... The wrestlers don't make it too far. They're famous short-lived.
Well, after he got Dangleman in the ring, what do you expect?
Well, he actually lived to be, let's see here, 55. He lived to be 70 years old, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, that's real good for
a wrestling stage.
A whole lot further than, what's his name, Benoit lived, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a crazy thing. Anybody remember that story?
Which one? What guy was it?
The guy Benoit. He went crazy.
Benoit. Yes, I remember him. I remember him.
He killed his wife and then himself, I think.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he became psychotic, didn't he?
I heard about that.
Yeah, he went nuts and just, yeah, right. His name was Chris Benoit, I think. I remember Benoit, but, you know.
Yeah, Benoit. Yeah, the French name. Yeah. I think they attributed that to like hits in the head he had taken during the ring too.
Well,
that he
it might have been a combination of concussions and steroids. You know, two things.
Yeah.
What? And this was Lieutenant Governor Dubois?
No, not a Lieutenant Governor.
Chris Benoit.
You're thinking of Dubois from the show Benson.
Oh God.
Not that Benson. We're doing there, Lewis. Guy. What are you doing, Lewis? Quiet, Lewis.
Lewis? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the steroid's not good. Those guys take serious damage in there, too. They get hurt. They get hurt bad doing that. So it's a tough career choice for sure. But those that make it out the other side, they get lots of podcasts.
He's happy, maybe.
Who?
Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I'm not sure how old Terry Bollea is at this point. I'll check. Oh, yeah. I'll look him up next.
He's getting up there. He is getting up there without a doubt, yeah.
I didn't realize he passed away, though. That surprised me.
Yeah, Dusty Rhodes in 2015, apparently.
That's just... Hmm. I know that Post everybody's gonna die one day. I know that. But
Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan's been around a while, because I'm looking just really quickly. They said one of the quick, like, wiki references says he debuted in the ring in 1977. So let's see how old he is.
Had to be younger than that then. For until he started.
He was born in 1953, Hulk Hogan.
53?
Yeah.
Oh.
So he turned...
Josh, younger than me. Because I'm 58.
Well, he's now about 70 years old, Hulk Hogan. Right?
Yeah.
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 He's an old man. He's an old man.
Well, not quite 70. He was born in August, according to public stuff. So.
Oh. Hmm.
Terry Jean
That's
Vallejo.
Something interesting I didn't even know about.
Hmm. Yeah, of course, everybody knows him from the appearance in the Rocky movie, Rocky III, right? Where he shows up as Thunderlips. So, and he wrestles Rocky and beats him up for a minute.
Yeah. Oh, that was him.
What? I thought he fought Mr. T.
Yeah, well, he did that too, didn't he?
Well, Rocky fought Mr. T in the regular boxing ring, but during the narrative of that movie, he goes for a charity event where he takes on the wrestling champion. So it's the heavyweight champion of the world versus the wrestling champion. Yeah. So the wrestling champion in that universe is...
Oh, that's why you can't hear me. It's in the very beginning of the movie. It's Thunderlips and, the charity thing. And then Clubber Lang is the main villain.
Right. Clubber Lang is the guy who beats him up, and then Apollo Creed trains him. He comes back and beats Clubber Lang. You know, spoiler if you haven't seen a movie in 40 years. But
then Ivan Drago kills him.
Well, yeah, next movie.
next movie.
Right.
And then Tommy the Duke Morrison beats up on him in Rocky V, and, you know, until his boxing career got stopped when he got HIV. But anyway, you know. Tommy Morrison. Yeah.
Tommy Gunn?
Tommy Gunn.
Tommy Gunn, yep.
The guy who was in real life known
as...
Tommy the Duke Morrison.
What?
John Wayne was Tommy Gunn's grandfather.
Let me double check that. It might have been his uncle.
We have to check that.
It might have been his uncle.
John Wayne was his grandfather.
All right, I'm going to double check it. But that's why they called him Tommy the Duke Morrison.
We're learning about a lot of new stuff on this program.
Yeah, that's why they called him Tommy the Duke Morrison.
He also
Morrison.
Was brought up on charges for rape, too, at one time.
Oh, my gosh. How badly can people be?
Well, anyway, they called him Tommy the Duke Morrison because of his relation to him. Yeah.
Hmm? What's that?
What?
I keep trying to get this out. They called him Tommy the Duke Morrison because of his relationship to John Wayne. Now I'm looking up to see what that is. I could have swore he's his nephew, but let me take a look and see specifically, because Chris is saying he was his grandfather.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him.
Chuck wants to prove me wrong.
I just want to keep it straight. That's all. Let's see.
I don't know.
Okay.
I barely know who he is. Like,
I know John Wayne. Those are the Cowboys games that I've been watching all these years. You've been watching Cowboys.
You know him.
Yeah. I know John Wayne.
Yeah.
You mean himself an airport right over here?
Yes, he does have.
You know who tried to kill? You know who tried to kill? You know who tried to kill John Wayne?
Who was that?
Stalin. Mm.
Stalin.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
No, I'm not even making a joke. No, that's the thing.
Serious happened?
He put a hit on him and tried to have him killed during that World War II.
Sure.
Oh. Man.
Because John Wayne's whole stance with the commies and all that, and Stalin got wind of it. And it's kind of like with the Three Stooges, Hitler wanted to have them killed, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Making fun of them and stuff.
Oh, no, that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Him.
Interesting.
This is getting
They
crazy.
Were Jewish, too. That was a problem for him, I'll bet.
Well, yeah, that was a wrench in the thing. Yeah.
That didn't work out well.
It's just a little wrench in that spoke. So, yeah, it was real.
Well, all them people are gone now. Even what's his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, all that. Well, yeah, they were so many years ago. Yeah, they haven't made it this far. I saw a pretty interesting TV interview that Mo did, like late.
Oh, yeah.
maybe the '70s or something. It was pretty good. He was good in that. I can't remember what the show was, but it was entertaining to see him talking. It was cool.
Yeah, and you know, Larry Fine, you know, Larry from the Three Stooges, he used to take phone calls at the retirement home from, like, his fans. He would talk to them, like, all night and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, Bruce Campbell from Evil Dead, when he was a kid in Michigan, him and Sam Raimi and them would actually talk to Larry Fine on the phone in the 70s.
Oh, can you imagine if we had that going, we would be talking to the Three Stooges.
Okay, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah, he's gone, though, Uncle.
Yeah, I know.
According to Wikipedia, although I'd like to find a better source, his nickname the Duke was based on his claim that he was the great nephew or some other distant relation to John Wayne. That is what it says on Wikipedia.
It's his grandson. I'll find you the article, but my knee hurts right now. I can't stand up.
No problem. I'll continue.
I know my Rocky movies, Chuck. I know my Rocky movies, believe me.
Okay, well.
Send a thing to Chuck, and then he'll send it over to us. How's that? When you get a chance.
That sounds good.
Do that, because well, that way, send it to you, and then you can send it to us. And we'll know.
I just don't want to argue with anyone.
I mean, that's the easiest way. If you saw.
I got a film question for you.
Sure.
Why not?
I'm not sure you can answer.
Oh, no.
Bob Wilson might be good. If he asked his boss. So I read this review of the film Nixon. I assume you've seen it, right?
What's the film, Nixon?
Yeah.
Yeah, Oliver Stone. Yep.
Yeah,
you've seen a lot of them.
Okay, so the comment on the film that kind of threw me off was his theory was that all the headlines, like the whole atmosphere of the movie and the headlines saying way more than they really did in real life, he's saying this is how Nixon was seeing things, and that's how Oliver Stone shot it, kind of from the viewpoint of Nixon. Does that sound even remotely correct to you?
I think Anthony Hopkins, who played Oliver cast in it, said that a bunch in the press interviews in 1996 when the movie was released. But in terms of Oliver himself, I can't remember, to be honest with you. Right, Uncle?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're still
trying. You have a favorite Oliver Stone movie?
Howard Stone. Oh, is that the guy from the street of San Francisco?
I think so.
I've seen all of those shows.
Oh, that's Michael Douglas.
Yeah, that's
Michael
him.
Douglas.
Oliver Stone did the movie JFK, Wall Street, Nixon, W.
Yeah. Oh, did you guys see a picture of me?
Which picture?
No. In Special Olympics? You guys.
Yeah.
No, you haven't?
Yeah, I've seen it. We've seen it because we found out. What, Chris? You weren't around for that?
Chris didn't.
No. It's first time I'm hearing of it. Did you win some medals, Uncle? Like, what was it? What was the category?
Yeah, he was a swimmer.
He met the whole family.
I was a swimmer.
Yeah.
I met the whole family.
Wow.
That was
yeah,
the Kennedys. And since what are you itching for?
Yeah, he met
down,
the
got it. It's flew him down to Florida for a few days.
Yeah. That's what we had a whole hour looking that up.
Yeah, we actually found video footage of Uncle going around during the Special Olympics, which one of the first ones was being supported by the Kennedy family in honor of Rose.
Oh yeah, they started that. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was there and met with with some of the Kennedys that were there. So there you go,
yeah.
Uncle. I think you and me are the only ones possibly that actually met members of the Kennedy family.
You have too.
I met Rory Kennedy, Robert RFK's youngest child, Rory Kennedy. I met her.
Oh,
who did you meet?
The other girl that gave the trophy. I gave the torch to him, and they lit the thing. I was running and gave him the torch.
Your uncle was one of the runners with the torch for the Special
Olympics.
With
the torch.
Yeah.
For Special Olympics.
Oh, I got to look that up. I got to look that up later on. Wow.
Look it up.
Wow. Do you remember which Kennedy you handed that to, or they handed to the torch to you?
Lady.
Okay.
Was it Rose?
I can't remember her name.
Rose. I think it was. Was it Rose?
I can't remember.
It was Rose. Rose Kennedy, yeah.
I think it might have been. We can look it up.
No, he is. I think that was Joe Senior's wife, right? Rose Kennedy was the mother,
somebody,
right? Because I've been to their
right.
graves in Brookline.
Yeah,
Brookline,
right.
Yes. Rose and...
That sounds right. Yeah. See, somebody knows about it.
Yeah.
Chuck?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know about it, yeah.
It was all based on
the fact is that one of the Kennedy siblings, one of the sisters there, one of JFK, RFK.
Yes, she had a lobotomy.
She had a lobotomy, yeah. And she was mentally handicapped, and that is why they got involved in, yeah.
That's right. What happened. That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
And Bobby Jr. Still talks about how he volunteered, you know, when he was a kid working there. So you may even met him too, Uncle.
I might have seen him, but. The face familiarizing. I have to see the faces, but you know, with all
I wonder
faces,
if you saw John Jr. too.
I probably could have. Don't even realize.
Wow,
that's possible because I might
you
not
see
even
Jackie?
Realize. No,
you see Jackie Kennedy.
Jackie wasn't
you
president.
That?
Jackie wasn't
no,
president at those Olympics.
She wasn't.
According to
records.
Was
there.
She
was.
She was with Aristotle.
Aristotle. Yeah.
Yeah. She,
right.
This is when
right.
she got old.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And stayed with
yeah,
him.
It wasn't
stayed
when she was
with...
trying to protect the kids with...
Yeah, and she stayed with him, so he would watch him.
And she passed in 94, so that would have been way after this. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Way
well,
after.
Well, Uncle, that's awesome. I got to look at that picture. And the footage. You got footage, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on your YouTube page?
Was it?
It was on someone's page because someone posted it last time.
We found it in the archive at the official site for the Special Olympics, and then somebody lifted the video piece, and then we were able to show it on one of the live streams. I think Aaron, right?
Yeah,
that's right. That's okay. Right. That was on one of the live streams. Wow. Now look in the live stream. Look at the live stream. You probably see it.
Yeah, we still have the live stream.
It's on the live stream.
We titled it something to do with the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
So it's on Uncle's YouTube now.
My YouTube now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you still have the awards that you were given?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I actually have a book of it.
Yeah, he showed one of the medals. I know showed one of the medals on the live stream too, right?
Yeah.
He said awards. I meant medals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that medal's on there too. Yeah, yeah. I gave him a couple medals.
Well, Uncle, that's a great thing. That's a great accomplishment.
Yeah, I know.
It is.
Boy. Did you believe I got disqualified on a butterfly now?
Oh,
no.
Oh, no. I wouldn't believe that.
That's because you couldn't hunt. You have to keep something straight.
It's about the technique.
Yeah, the technique of it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it was the feet.
The
something
some point,
I got disqualified on.
But you got a lot of other medals from a lot of those events. Like, that was just one time that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't that big.
We all make mistakes.
Well,
yeah.
Well, Uncle, I think didn't you mention once to me that you're a fan of Scooby-Doo? I'm a fan of Scooby-Doo.
Yes, we like
the
Scooby-Doo.
Original.
I like my Scooby-Doo.
The original.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
That
too.
Is my main.
Tigger too.
That's my favorite cartoon. Don't care what his son is watching. That one tops.
Huh?
That one is my favorite.
Okay.
You can even ask my other sister.
Yeah,
really? She didn't even tell you.
I like the old ones. I like the old ones, but I don't like the new ones. Guess why? What's the huge difference between the ones from the 60s and 70s and the crap they make now?
Because Casey Kasem is gone?
Casey Kasem.
The whole point of the original series was every week,
Scooby-Doo proved there was no such thing as ghosts. And now the supernatural is part of Scooby-Doo. Totally different thing. Oh, they totally messed it up.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. I understand that part. I remember, like, see what you're going.
Well, I remember when Batman and Robin showed up with the gang, too.
Oh, yeah, that was before this. Batman and Robin, that was a new episode.
No, they were on Scooby-Doo a couple times.
They jumped on that Scooby-Doo, but that was past... What year was that, Jimmy? What year was
Batman
and
Scooby-Doo?
1966.
The new Scooby-Doo movies, I believe, was 72 and 3, or 4.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
But, Batman and Robin, even those ones, it wasn't supernatural. Sure, they were superheroes, but it wasn't like they showed...
No, but Jimmy James, I love the Dark Knight. I didn't mean he was supernatural. I just meant he was on the show with them.
I know. I'm just pointing out that the original, the whole reason I like them...
You like Ghost Huckle? You're talking about the era where they did the Globetrotters and Phil Stiller.
Interesting. I like the Hardy Boys shows, books. That
The Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew.
Yeah, I like those. Yeah. All those.
They were a good show. Too.
They were pretty
good. They used to have TV shows of those. Did you watch the Hardy Boys? 70s? Yeah.
Some of them.
And Nancy Drew.
Well, I don't know if it was.
I think Creative Accidents. A lot of them too. I think Creative Accidents might have dropped the film clips on Instagram and Twitter into the chat room at Ocelli.com for anybody wants to see Uncle. Yeah.
Okay. I see that. I see that. Did you see it? Oh, yeah. Go and pop it there and then you'll see it. Was that me running? We were discussing that.
Yeah, we couldn't figure that out. We
Is that you?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It looks like it could be. He was at that event.
Do you remember what color clothes you were wearing?
Actually, that far back? Not really.
I think the torchbearers were all dressed the same, though. I think they all had the same T-shirt on and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It had... No, wait a minute. It had the star. It had the... Oh, the wolf picture. That's what it was.
This guy carrying
the This is it. This, I don't think, is
Can
me.
Can you see it, Uncle? That's not...
But that's a number 3, isn't it?
This guy?
Look at
number
the
3.
Number on the shirt.
Oh, no.
What's the shirt say?
The shirt.
Not a number 2, right?
No, it's not a number. I think it just says Special Olympics and has the logo on it.
Oh, yeah, that's the shirt.
They all had the Special Olympics shirts on. That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
So, the clothes wouldn't help. It's they're all dressed the same. The guy's carrying the torches.
Yeah.
I was just trying to figure out something to differentiate.
No, but he was a torchbearer. But the thing is, it looks like him. He was the torchbearer during that Olympics, or a torchbearer during that Olympics.
Yeah, I was.
Correct.
I just don't know where I was from. Sometimes younger. It could be him, but that was a young picture of me. I got to say.
You were young then.
Young at that time.
Hey, Uncle, I can't say that I won some medals, so good for you. That's awesome.
I don't know. Only one I got beat by one swimmer that's better than me. Name was Willie.
Willie the Flyer.
I don't know, that's what I call
him. Willie the Flyer, that's a comic book villain.
He beat me on the first book I threw out there, and he beat me, but I'm coming second.
See, Uncle, you're Batman, and your Joker is Willie the Flyer. That's great. Yeah,
that's cool. Well, the name
I think that's what I'm going to call him that. I was about to call him that.
There's always somebody better.
Call him the Joker?
Yeah.
Everybody has their Willie the Flyer, Uncle. It's nothing to worry about. That's for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, mine's Nancy Pelosi. No, I'm just kidding.
Nancy Pelosi.
Sorry.
Oh, boy. Here we go now. Into that.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. I won't get political on you. I'll get funny again, or for the first time.
When you yakking about it, boy.
There we go. That was a good one.
Well, we still gotta work on these wrestlers, though.
Right. Oh, we're always working, Uncle. Always.
Gotta try to get.
I only know Sergeant Slaughter. I'll try to. He doesn't get back to me though. I don't know any other way. You have any ideas? Like a. I go to his house or something.
I don't know that guy. Dude.
I don't know.
I think he's like church medically. I don't think so.
Drop him a line and say, Uncle the Broadcast would like to speak to you.
A couple of years ago, Sergeant Slaughter looked pretty good at one of those WWE Hall of Fame events. He looked all right. I don't know what shape he's in today. You know, some of these guys are shaky now.
He's following me, so it's not good shape.
Oh, okay. You say so.
Well. You know what I haven't heard much of?
That's good.
You know what I haven't heard a lot of?
Wasn't there a show, Chuck? Chuck, wasn't there a podcast that you were telling Uncle he should call into that had to do with wrestling? Or someone brought it up a couple weeks ago?
Oh, there's a bunch of wrestling podcasts that he would love to get involved with or have the people on. Steve
Uncle,
Austin.
You ever call into one of these?
I don't know if we can get one to call.
You need to call them.
Oh.
Yeah, call you would have
their
to call.
Shows.
Well, we have to have a number.
Yeah.
Yes, we
do. Have a number? Do I have a number? I'll call them.
I'll try to find you some numbers.
Time in the numbers, right. And I'll do that. Matter of fact, it gave me an idea for next week's show. That's what we'll do.
See, that guy I brought up, Cornette.
Find numbers.
Oh, different podcasts?
I think Cornette might take
hold. Hand some to Chuck, if you can find them, and then we'll get to them. That's probably how we can get to them. Seriously.
There's the show.
If they were live at the same time, we could call.
That's not true.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
For next week's show.
If they were live at the same time, we could call them right from the show. I mean, I can call out.
That's what I mean. We have to find the time.
I might have to look into this.
Yeah. Look into that.
I'll find it. Find it, Uncle. We'll find something.
Yeah, because that may
be. Is there any that you wouldn't call? Yeah, is there any that you wouldn't talk to, though? Like, I don't know if you have any old feuds with, King Kong Bundy or one of these people, you know? Do you have any feuds with any of these old guys, or?
No, to me, they're all actors.
They're all actors.
They're all actors, okay.
That's what they are.
What about Fuji? Is Fuji alive?
Yeah, he's a Fuji,
too. Mr. Fuji, you want me to look him up?
You can look him up.
Yeah.
See,
I thought that was a place.
Like I said, if we can just get one or even two of these people, we'll get it rolling. And this damn would be going flying. It'd be going past an hour. Let me believe you. If we get on a wrestler, let me tell you, they will pour.
Mr. Fuji. Mr. Fuji, the guy who was a wrestling manager for a while, but was also part of the tag team Fuji and Saito, died in 2016. Jimmy James.
Oh God.
Yeah. What is going on?
We'll find you some living.
We might need a Ouija.
He lived a long time, though. He was born in 1934.
Ooh.
So he lived a long time.
Yeah, that would definitely make sense. Find that old.
He had a few reruns, huh?
Yeah. He had a couple. I'd say. I didn't realize him that young.
Yeah, a couple of reruns, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I remember him. He was
a... Who was your favorite
boys.
One? Sorry, Sean.
No problem. Who was your favorite wrestler, Uncle? I know we talked about this before, but who was your ultimate favorite out of every wrestler?
I have to think about it. There's so many.
Because that might help me gauge, who I might be able to find if they're, it might be more entertaining for you if I can find one that's closest to your favorite of all time.
Adam Page.
Adam Page.
Can you find Adam Page? Adam Page.
You mean so Dallas? You mean Dallas Page?
I mean Dallas Page.
Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah.
Dallas Page.
That guy's from Jersey.
He's friends with Rob Zombie. I might be able to make that happen, actually.
Yeah, I'm trying to see him because I did talk to him.
Oh, you talked to him?
You did? Wow.
Yeah, once.
Okay.
Maybe that will get it going.
Maybe. That could be
okay.
Yeah, get in touch with him.
I got drunk with Bam Bam Bigelow a couple times, but he's also gone.
That's gross.
Yeah.
That's only one of those. Because I know he'll remember me. That guy will remember me.
I'm in Dallas Page?
Yeah. I'm sure he'll remember me.
Oh, okay.
Let's reach out to him then.
Hmm.
Reach out to him.
Yeah.
Diamond Dallas Page, that's a good one.
What about Pamela Lee Anderson Rockley? Would you talk to her?
Pamela Anderson?
Pamela Anderson?
Pamela Anderson Lee Rockley.
Yeah, okay.
She's an interesting person, that's for sure. Definitely a lot to
talk
about.
Oh, her and Tommy, that tape? Yeah.
Wow.
What happened to that?
More than a tape.
Wrestler was on the ladies' side. What was that girl's name?
China, right?
I
bumped into her in Burbank, California.
She's deceased.
Yeah, she's gone.
She died.
She died shortly after I saw her in 2008 in Burbank, California.
Oh.
Wasn't doing too well. Yeah.
Man. Some of these good ones are gone.
They get a lot of injuries, Uncle, right? So sometimes when you get head injuries, I don't know if this is how why she died. I think she had an overdose.
Yeah, it had to be something like that. Then
we'll have Did you ever see the movie The Wrestler, Uncle? With Mickey Rourke. You ever see that? That movie, The Wrestler?
That's a great one, yeah.
It's a sad movie, huh?
Darren Aronofsky.
He makes fun of Kurt Cobain at the end. I didn't like that too much, but it was still a good movie.
Wait a minute.
That's weird. I don't remember making fun of Kurt Cobain.
Wait a minute now. You got
that movie was way
before Kurt Cobain. Darren Aronofsky directed The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke. Yes.
Yeah. No, I don't remember.
That was like 1980.
No. The Wrestler's early 2000s, I'm fairly certain.
No, The Wrestler is 2007 because that's how Mickey Rourke got cast for Iron Man 2 as Whiplash based on winning some awards. Yes.
So that's his comeback role.
That's a comeback role. That's a comeback role, yeah.
Yep.
We're all trying to figure out all these movies.
Didn't he play a wrestler also in a movie like around 1980 that was like his big claim to fame?
Angel Heart?
Oh, Hart. I remember Hart.
I just thought that
Hart passed away, too.
The Wrestler, according to...
Mickey Rourke was in the Pope of Greenwich Village with Julia Roberts' brother there, Eric Roberts. I met him.
According to IMDb, the movie The Wrestler was 2008. That was a comeback movie for Rourke. And what was he? What was his character? The Ram? Right?
Yeah, that sounds so. Right.
Because his move was the Ram Jam. I know that. I remember that part of it. I don't remember making fun of Kurt Cobain in the movie.
Melissa Tomei was the love interest.
She was the stripper.
I know the wrestler Hart passed away.
Melissa Tomei.
But did the young one pass away, too?
Which one?
You're talking about Owen Hart?
Owen Hart.
Yeah, Owen Hart was the one that fell.
Owen Hart died on TV. Yeah.
I saw that footage. Yeah, they filmed his death, but they put the video in the vault.
Did he have a son though?
There were a few of the Hart.
Yeah,
like
I think
Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Owen Hart.
Did he pass away?
Jim Neidhart. Hart.
Yeah, he fell like 80 feet from the ceiling, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he
right under the side of the guard.
Yeah, he fell into
Jerry Lawler was right in front of him.
Right. Yeah. That was Hart himself.
So,
but I was thinking of his brother. Was his brother still alive?
Bret Hart, right?
I think it's Owen Hart. I think you were right.
Yeah, Bret Hart is still alive, but Owen Hart died on TV there. So, yeah. But Bret Hart is still alive. He's retired.
He's still alive?
Bret Hart, I believe, is still alive, yes.
What about Jimmy Hart?
Jimmy Hart would be
Jimmy
good.
Hart.
Yeah, he's funny. I like him.
Try to see if he got something.
The manager? Yeah, he's
see funny. If he got anything. Just kick these guys and see what goes on with them.
Sometimes the managers are...
I don't know if I want to kick them, but I could maybe talk to them or something.
Well, something like that.
Some of the managers are like the most entertaining ones. Like Jimmy Hart was funny. Bobby the Brain Heenan was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
He was funny.
Yes.
I tell you, recent controversy with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, is hilarious to me. You know, with his whole thing. He's involved in that whole Brett Favre deal.
Oh, God, really?
No.
Yeah, where he was getting the welfare money or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I tell you, my hour would go fast if we had just one of those talks.
If you were talking to Chris Jericho?
Yeah, well, any of them. Any of those wrestlers that really can talk.
He may play you a song, too.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hart is almost 80 years old.
Jimmy Hart is amazing.
No way.
Yeah, he was born
in the womb.
Wow.
He was born in 44, according to what I see here.
Whoa. Oh, I can understand that.
Oh, wow. I see you got the light lightings on tonight.
Yeah, I like this lighting. Lighting's working for me. Goodness. Yeah, I guess he wasn't young when he was on as manager back then.
Yeah, exactly. You guys remember Jeep Swenson?
No.
That's a new one to me.
He played Bane in Batman and Robin, the original Bane. He had a heart attack shortly after filming, but he was a big wrestler at the time.
Oh.
You know the one I would love to get in touch with?
Which one?
The one, the owner of...
Vince McMahon?
No, beef people.
The man that gone in the casket.
The guy that was in a cast?
Casket.
Oh, you're talking about the Undertaker. The Undertaker.
Yeah. Because
if I
have a friend that loves Undertaker. And I was in there, I said I have a podcast. I would love to talk to him.
He's one of the biggest ones.
There's my favorite guy right there. So.
Yeah, he's
like Triple H.
No, The Undertaker.
Undertaker.
No, Undertaker.
Yeah, The Undertaker.
Paul, I like that Paul Undertaker guy.
Paul Bearer. Who's
the one that looks like the crow? Sting?
That's Sting.
That's my boy, Sting.
Oh, okay.
That's the crow.
He's got the black metal.
He got the black metal one.
Yeah. I always thought he looked like Brandon Lee's crow. That's what I always thought about.
He's always up in the graphics somewhere looking down.
I bet that movie did inspire.
Maybe there's one named Kane, too.
Yeah. Kane, yes.
Was he in that?
Kane. We know Kane.
Oh, yeah, I know McCain. That was the guy in the plane.
He was supposedly...
No, not John McCain. Kane, I think.
He was said to be Undertaker's brother when the character was introduced.
Oh.
The Kane character.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I guess
you ever see Under the Mat, that documentary?
No.
With Mick Foley and The Rock in it, the behind the scenes.
It's very good.
Under the Mat, I got a lot of controversy, I thought. Because
Beyond
show, like, Mick Foley's kids watching. Oh, Beyond the Mat, that's right.
It's got Jake the
Snake. It showed the kids were watching, right? While The Rock was, like, beating them up and the kids were, like, screaming and stuff.
They were traumatized, yeah. Jake the Snake Roberts.
But Jake the Snake got involved with something else, though.
Jake the Snake did?
Yeah.
Well, like drugs?
With that NWO.
Right. Yep.
The New World Order.
New World Order thing?
Yeah. You know, we're actually down to the last 7 minutes or so, just so you know, guys.
Uh-oh. Boy, look how fast it's going.
When we are successful, and we will be.
And it wants to try to understand one of these wrestlers would know what they're talking about to get popping talking again.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I got
to figure it out, Uncle.
Try next week, if you can, to find out
and
grab one to say, hey, when you...
We already have the show planned out, Uncle. What? Next week's show is going to be finding the numbers.
You're going to find phone numbers.
We're going to look at phone numbers. So.
I will listen to that over and over again if you guys really do that.
Finding the numbers.
I would go to sleep to that over and over again.
Because I think ahead, people. Got to think ahead. I think ahead. I know. Talking to these...
You do.
I think ahead of these to talk to these wrestlers. That's just me.
You got it.
What about Musk? You used to want to talk to Musk, too. I know how you could get that guy's attention.
Get his
post on Musk page.
File driver?
Yep.
Go
on Twitter.
Jimmy, just find his number. Jimmy, just find his number.
I just remember.
Find his number. We'll go from there.
We had a group of us tweeting at Musk on Twitter before he bought it, and
I know, but this is the magic words. Just type, Uncle, your podcast. Type, I know you are a Rocket Man.
Okay, say that.
Okay.
Say that. Maybe there'll be a.
That was Jeff Bezos, right? This is the, what are you talking about? Because I don't want to get it wrong.
Just going to say something of me to ask them if they
would Richard Branson?
Have a little talk. A little talk.
Richard Branson.
Moving.
Twitter and various other empires. Just go to Twitter feed.
Empire. Yeah,
and just
empire.
Put, I know you're Rocket Man.
Yeah, who's Rocket Man? Who's Rocket Man? And I say, who?
They're calling
Rocket Man. Who's going to call me Rocket Man? Hello, hello, I'm here.
Don't say that to Elton John. He'll get the wrong idea.
No, not him. He's a singer. He's a singer. He got nothing.
Chinese dancer there.
He's got nothing to say about this. This is wrestling. This isn't rocking. This ain't no song, man.
We're not talking about Elton John.
No, Tiny Dancing, right?
No.
We'll talk about Elton John soon enough.
Well, soon right enough, we're talking about that, but not,
very sorry,
not
very
this.
Soon.
This is completely different than what
totally
we're trying
different.
To trying to get in touch with some people.
Oh, yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
All right. This I got you. Thing.
So everybody, do us a favor. Collect some numbers.
Yeah, collect numbers.
Call in next week. Give us those numbers. And then we'll do the numbers by the numbers next week.
And go from there. And maybe we'll pop on one. Who knows? Could happen.
I hope you do.
Somebody pop on. They say, who's this guy talking about me? And pop. What's that?
And then they might hit star 6-9 and you might get in trouble.
And you side, you call my number out. Right. And they'll call that and boom. There we go.
Uncle and
we
I.
We got it going.
Uncle
Bingo.
Do some sort of matrix style thing where we become so powerful we turn ourselves into numbers.
Yeah, into numbers.
And you'll be able to see us turn into numbers before your eyes on the live stream.
Exactly. But that's next.
1-800-COLLECT.
That is next week's show. There we go. I got something lined up for next week now.
Well, it's all lined up.
Lined up.
Perfect.
So it's what's my number, not what's my line, right?
Yeah, something like that.
It was a bad joke.
Okay, then everybody who wants a shout out, go kick them out.
Yeah,
let's go.
Chris, came on first.
You're first. So kick out the shout outs.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to shout out my good friend, Uncle, for winning all those awards, and I'll try to get you as many phone numbers as I can, and I don't want to disappoint you, but I'm a very disappointing person. But you know what? I think it's awesome you got to meet the Kennedys, and you have a good rest of your night, sir.
That might push you a little. Maybe so, Epti. You heard about that.
Well done. Great to talk to you, Chris.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And we'll go to Jimmy. Jimmy, who you want to shout out to?
I'll toast Uncle also. My shout outs to you, Uncle. It's your show. You make it possible. And I also am going to struggle to get some kind of celebrity on this thing next week.
Mm.
Okay, good job. Thank you, Jimmy. We appreciate your services. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep.
We'll talk to you soon, man. Always here to talk to you. Who else we got, Uncle? Us?
That's it.
Give a shout out, Chuck.
No, I'm good. You guys go ahead and do your thing, and appreciate all you do. Thank you.
Uncle, why don't you give a shout out?
I'm going to shout out to all these people that called, and also who was listening. Mm-hmm. And that's all right, Chuck. Don't worry about that part. Shout out to all you all. All right, then.
Okay, I'm going to give a shout out, too.
Go ahead.
I'm shouting out to Scooby-Doo the Monster Truck. If it had a number, it'd be number one because it's the best. Uncle, bring us home.
There's our show. Bye-bye.
See ya.